Okay, so as you see, it's Psalm 62, verses 1 to 8. And when we're reading this, please be mindful of the word rock. How many times is the word rock mentioned in this passage? Okay, so Psalm 62 and verse 1 to 8. For the director of music, for Jeduthun, a psalm of David. Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall never be shaken. How long will you assault me? How long will you throw me down? This leaning wall, this tottering fence. Surely they intend to topple me from my lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge.
Well, thanks very much. It's great to be with you this morning. And as we look at this psalm together, before we start, I'm just going to begin with prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for this psalm that you've given us through your servant David. Help us this morning to learn more about you from it and help me to faithfully explain it. Amen. Amen. Well, our title this morning is Trusting in Our Rock. And we're going to start with a little quiz to get us going. So hopefully, coming up on the screen will be some pairs of pictures with a number one and a number two on them. And what I need from you guys is a show of hands. Which of the two pictures you think is stronger? Okay, so there'll be a number one and number two. So each one I'll ask, which is stronger, number one or number two? And you put up your hands when I ask one or two, depending on what you think. So first up, the first one, let's have a look. Which is stronger? Number one. Who thinks number one? And who thinks number two? Well, that's pretty comprehensive. I think you're right on that one. Okay, next up. Which is stronger, number one or number two? Number one? Anyone for number two? Oh, you're right again. You're doing very well at this quiz. Thirdly, got a third pair here. Number one or number two? What do you think? Number one or number two? A bit more mixed. I think number one was winning there, wasn't it? And then the final pair, number one or number two? What do you think? Number one or number two? Number one, number two. You're very good at this quiz. Well done. You get some good marks there. Well, the last two images we've seen are going to be key for the psalm that we've just read. Now, it's a psalm written by King David, when things weren't going very well for him. Now, our circumstances today are going to be different from his, but we will face challenges, whatever age or stage of life we're at. In this psalm, which was written 3,000 years ago, I want to draw out two key truths for us if we're believers today, this morning. And if you're not yet a Christian, I pray you may see why God is so worth trusting in. So the two truths we got are God is our rock and we are wobbly fences. So first up, God is our rock. Now, the rock was a key image, wasn't it, in that psalm that we had read. It's very clear both in sort of throughout that section, the word rock comes up repeatedly. Can anyone remember how many times the word rock came in our verses? Yes? Three times. Spot on. Exactly. So if it's repeated three times, David the writer is really trying to draw our attention to something here. He wants to get the picture clear in our heads. Now, rock is a word that occurs frequently in the Bible. We even saw it last week in Psalm 61 as well. And of course, it's describing something that's massive, fixed, and can't be moved. Not a pebble you can pick up off the beach and throw in the sea, but a boulder that stayed put for thousands of years. Something pretty strong and solid. Now, the writer isn't saying God is literally a rock. No, it's one of many pictures the Bible uses to help us understand things about God. For example, elsewhere we see God described as a shepherd or fire. So what does it mean for God to be a rock? What does that mean? Well, firstly, we can see, can't we, that God's not described as being a rock, but my rock. Did you see that? Each time God is mentioned as a rock in the psalm, David calls him my rock. You see, we can know God and call him ours. My rock. We can have a relationship with this rock. And secondly, we see that God is linked with rest, isn't he? We see that in verses 1 and verse 5. Now, rest here is not kind of chilling at home, putting up our feet on the sofa, or even lying on a beach on holiday. It's rest as in comfort. You see, even when we're facing difficulties, we can look to God for comfort. That's what it's talking about here. God doesn't promise that life's going to be easy, but that he will be with those who trust in him. Did you see too that it's a statement and a command? So verse 1, truly my soul finds rest in God. That's what David's saying as a statement. Then verse 5, yes, my soul, find rest in God. He's telling himself to do it because I guess he might well forget. We could forget that ourselves. We need to tell each other, find rest in God. Find comfort in him. We see also that God being our rock means he is our salvation. But that word salvation simply means saving people who are in danger, like a rescue at sea. Like this, like a helicopter rescuing at sea. Only God can save, only he can rescue, and that's through Jesus. We can't save ourselves. We are powerless sinners needing rescue. Jesus is the all-powerful Savior. So God being our salvation means he rescues us. We also see in this psalm that God is our security and protection. Did you see that word in verse 2? My fortress. We can trust God to care for us, even when facing difficulties. It's our protection. David, who writes the psalm, was facing real enemies who were out to kill him. Even then he could say in verse 2, I will never be shaken. Because his future was secure as a child of God. And finally, as we think about God being our rock, we see we are dependent on him. In verse 7, David writes, my salvation and my honor depend on God. A rock is the strongest place on which to build. Because God is our rock, we are fully reliant on him, depending on him. Well, have a look at this next slide. We've got two foundations. Again, numbers 1 and 2. Which do you think we'd be better to build on? Number 1 or number 2? Who wrote to number 1? What about number 2? Brilliant. You're very good at these quizzes, aren't you? So exactly, we want to build on bricks and stone, not on sand that can get washed away by the tide. Well, do you know God as your rock, the one you can totally rely on, the sure foundation? So this psalm tells us that if we're Christians, God is our rock. And we're going to sing about that now in our next song, Faithful One. So we've just been singing, haven't we, about God being our rock. And that was our first point from Psalm 62. God is our rock. And that's even better news because The second truth we're going to see this morning, that we are wobbly fences. Did you see that image in verse 3, how David describes himself? He says, "Would you, all of you, throw me down this leaning wall, this tottering fence?" So that's how David describes himself, as a wobbly fence. So, what's the problem with the next fence that comes up on there? What do you reckon is the problem with that one? Any ideas? What's wrong with that fence? Anyone want to suggest? Yes? Exactly. You could just walk over it, couldn't you? If you had that fence to protect your estate or your garden, somebody could just walk over it. It's not doing its job, is it? Now, why is the next fence much better? Why is that much better? Anyone want to suggest? Yes? Exactly. Now, that is a tough fence. So he was pointing out that it's probably electric, it's pretty sturdy, and it's got twirly things at the top that have got spikes on them. Now, that really would be pretty hard to get past. I wouldn't like to try and get over that fence. It's really doing its job, isn't it? You see, a wobbly fence is pretty useless, isn't it, really? So if David describes himself in this psalm as a wobbly fence, or kind of like a broken wall, what does that say about him and us today? Well, firstly, we see that David faced opposition and challenges, didn't he? Did you see in verse 3, he talks about those who are assaulting him. People are seeking to kill him, real enemies. They want to take his lofty place. He says in verse 4, that's because he was the king, the top place. They want it. And they're full of deceit and lies. They're telling untrue things about him. So David is facing real opposition. And he doesn't say he can face that in his own strength. He admits his weakness and he looks to God. He's a wobbly fence, he says. Now he can't be shaken permanently. We've seen that in verse 2. But I reckon the effect of having all his enemies made him pretty worried and, I guess, wobbly in his day-to-day life, even if he knew that God was his strength. He was definitely shaken by his experiences. Now, David was a king, and yet he still describes himself in this way. I doubt if any of us today has a position as important as a king, but we do face many challenges. So what are our opposition and challenges? Clearly not the same as David's, but we'll often feel weak like him. Maybe that's ill health and sickness. Maybe that's loneliness, not having many friends. It could be struggles at school or in our workplace. It could be deceitful people telling lies about us. It could be poverty, a lack of money, of food, or even somewhere to live. We face real opposition and challenges. And because we're weak, we need to keep coming back to God. We need to be like verse 5 and say, "My soul, find rest in God." God is our rock, even as we are wobbly and broken fences. Now have a look at these next two video clips featuring Lego men. You have to imagine as well in each of them there's a wind blowing. But have a look at these next two clips. Here's the first one. Imagine there's a wind blowing. Over he goes. And the next one. Did anybody see what the difference was in that second video clip? Did anyone notice a difference in a second video clip? Yes. Excellent. So he was saying that the black guy that was blown over was like a wobbly fence. But the other Lego man, he was standing on a rock, wasn't he? He had a platform. You see those bricks there? It was like his rock. He was standing on the bricks. He had a sure foundation. If you like, he knew he was weak. He couldn't withstand the wind. And so he seeks a strong foundation. It's like his rock in that little video clip. So the challenge for us is, will we realize our weakness so that we rely on our rock? So have you put your trust in God the rock this morning? Or are you mistakenly trusting in yourself, your own strength? Have you put your trust in God the rock? You see, there's lots of things we can learn from Psalm 62. But we focus on two key points for us today if we're followers of Jesus. Firstly, that God is our rock. You see, it's only in God that we find our strength, our rest and our salvation. Only in him. And secondly, we are wobbly fences, so easily knocked over. We cannot and we should not face opposition and challenges on our own. We need to rely on God the rock. Because we're wobbly fences and broken walls, we must look to God our rock. So let's keep trusting in God our rock. That's the message of the psalm. Keep trusting in God our rock. So whatever age you are this morning, why not talk to somebody after the service and tell them what these truths mean for you in your life, how you can look to God as your rock. I'm just going to close with a prayer. Lord God, thank you that you are our rock, as this psalm makes so clear. Help us to build our lives on you as our sure foundation. Amen. Amen.
We're not going to let you off quite that quickly, Ed, because it's our plan and our custom to have observations from the floor or questions for the preacher. So if there's something that struck you that you'd like to share with others about Psalm 62, or a question you'd like to ask Ed, backed up by me, put a hand up and we'll have a go at some questions. Anybody got any observations or questions?
Can you repeat the question? So the question was, how can you encourage somebody who knows that God is their rock, but perhaps doesn't want to acknowledge that because it doesn't seem to be making so much difference in their lives? Is that... Yeah, kind of like that. So I would encourage that person to look for fellowship with their fellow Christians. I think that verse 5, yes, my soul, find rest in God. It's really important that we need to be actively, I guess, encouraging each other with these truths. Because the reality is, so often our experiences can cause us to, I guess, forget that God is the rock because... we feel so much like those wobbly fences. So I think seek fellowship. I think that's really important. Encouragement from other believers, because we are going through challenges, not just as individuals, but as church family. So I think that would be really important there, because it's easy to have a truth that you can kind of read in the Bible, but harder to apply it practically. So I think my first thing I'd say is, the fellowship of other Christians is really important.
Being at church is going to be great. And verse 5 is, yes, my soul, find rest. He's talking to himself. There's a bit of self-talk going on. Remind yourself of what you have believed and spur yourself on with that kind of talk. I think he's doing it for himself, isn't he?
Definitely, yeah. So I think we need to give us a pep talk maybe sometimes, yeah.
Thanks, Steph.
Yeah, so I think so verse 3 says, I'll read the verse and ask the question again. So, how long will you assault me? Would all of you throw me down, this leaning wall, this tottering fence? And then verse 4, surely they intend to topple me from a lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. And the question was, who is he talking about? Was that the first point? Yeah. So... it seems these were real enemies, and so the most likely answer to that is it's a time when David faced kind of like a civil war almost. His son Absalom was seeking his crown effectively, trying to stage a coup. And so when they talk, he talks about topping me from a lofty place, I think that's a literal topping me from kingship. So you can read about it in 2 Samuel 15 and 16. This really tricky time in David's life, and he had to flee. He had to seek protection, even though he was the king. So he was facing civil war, basically.
Talking about his real enemies.
Real enemies, definitely real enemies. Yes. Thank you. So that was an encouragement that in verse 7, my salvation and my honour depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. And finding our salvation, our refuge in God, when perhaps we want to find it in our own efforts, it's so clear, isn't it? My salvation and my honour depend fully on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. And so that's a real encouragement to us to seek it from God. Yeah, so this is verse 8 says, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. So I think there's the same truth we've had before about God being our source of strength, but it's a message to respond. So trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him. There's an active sense there, isn't there? Pouring out your hearts to God. So bring your troubles, your concerns to God at all times. So David can write this and challenge others as he's facing adversity. And thus, I think we can see that for ourselves, and the original readers could see it for themselves. It's not just trusting in God when times are good. At all times, you people, the people that David's addressing, God's people, pouring out their hearts to him. So continually seeking God as we face adversity, as we face good things, pouring out our hearts to him.
Can I say something more?
Yep.
That pour out your hearts to him, I often want to only pour out my heart to him when I'm feeling fine. And if I'm feeling fine and everything's going well, then I'm okay to pour out my heart to him. But I think David is saying, do it even when you don't want to. Perhaps your words could be, God, I don't feel like pouring out my heart to you. I don't feel like I trust you. Please forgive me. Please help me. I do believe in you. You are my rock. There's a kind of cycle of the words we might say. And that encouragement to do it right when he was under threat for his kingship from his own son means that we can too when we're under threat and in horrible situations ourselves. And one of the horriblest situations might be, I don't feel God is strong anymore. Deliberately go back to a psalm like this and pour out your hearts to him. I think that's the encouragement. I guess that's a similar answer to Louise's question. Really well done, Ed. Thank you very much, everybody, for your questions. Please enjoy Psalm 62. You can have a seat.
Cool.
And we're going to sing a last song. Can we have the musicians back to the front?